Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be discussing, well, I don't know if it's necessarily a hot topic, but it could be. What is the true definition of an excellent minister? Could be a hot topic, right? I mean, you've got guys planting churches, you know, in massive numbers. You've got people going to those churches in massive numbers. And there are all kinds of different standards by which we judge excellent ministers. Some people say an excellent minister is one who can draw the crowds and fill the building. Others say an excellent minister is a guy who can plant many, many churches. Other people say an excellent minister is a guy who can build all kinds of buildings. An excellent minister, others say, is a guy who can manage a massive budget. And it goes on and on and on. Is this a hot topic to discuss? You know, is it hot? I don't know how hot it is, but I think it's very applicable. Because again, as you are going to church and you're sitting there and you're looking up and you're listening to the minister as he preaches, how do you evaluate what an excellent minister is? Is it because he can keep your interest as he speaks? Is it because he's entertaining when he speaks? Is it because he can tell jerking stories that stir your emotions? Is that something that you would say, okay, he's an excellent minister because of that? And again, this is an interesting topic for me because I am a minister. I'm an ordained minister. So I fall into this category where people evaluate me. And so I remember asking this question, what exactly is an excellent minister? Danielle and I moved here to Croatia and, you know, we had to start from scratch. I mean, we had been serving both of us in a very large church, Presbyterian church in South Florida. And, you know, we served under a wonderful pastor who's now gone home to be with the Lord, a great elder board, wonderful congregation. I came out of the business world, stepped right into seminary, was ordained, graduated, ordained, serving this beautiful, wonderful church. And then all of a sudden, Danielle and I moved here to Croatia and boom, we had to start from scratch. We started on the balcony of our apartment. We had no worship leader. We had no technology. I couldn't speak the language. We had no people come for a while. I mean, it was brutal. And here we are years later, and we still have, at least compared to what we, Danielle and I, were used to in the United States, we have a very, very small ministry. Small church. We've got, you know, several different services. But again, in comparison to the 2000 that I used to preach in front of, this is very small in comparison. Yes, we're doing great work. We've got a great staff and we're ministering to a lot of people. But nevertheless, again, as I look to where we came from there in the States and to where we are here in Croatia, this caused me to ask the question, Andrew, what is an excellent minister? And several years back, I was studying in the pastorals, 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy, Paul's letters to two young pastors, Timothy and Titus. And these letters are just gold when it comes to what God says an excellent minister is. And I would really encourage you, again, maybe you are not an ordained minister. Maybe you don't have the desire or the calling to become an ordained minister. But nevertheless, as a Christian, you are being influenced by ordained ministers. And so what we're going to do with this topic is we're not going to take pot shots at other ministers. And I don't want to come across and sound like I'm somebody better than the guy that, you know, you sit under his teaching. No, no, no. Again, full disclaimer, our ministry here in comparison to probably many, many churches that you attend or have attended, this ministry here is very small in comparison to that. But nevertheless, should we judge if a minister is excellent based upon the number of people who come, based upon how much money is in the budget, how many buildings he has, how many churches he's planted, and on and on and on. And again, these are questions I had to wrestle with, and so I want to share these findings with you. And really, they're not my findings. I take them straight from the scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul gives 11 qualities of an excellent minister. And so what we're going to do over the next several shows is we're going to go through these qualities. And I would encourage you to take note. I would encourage you to really think about what God has to say an excellent minister of Christ Jesus is. You're going to find out that God's standards obviously are very different than ours. You may find out that you've been looking at and judging a minister not based on God's standards, but your own standards, or based on the standards of what you've seen and heard in others. So what we want to do is we want to go slowly here, and we want to be able to say, okay, this is God's standard, God's qualities for an excellent minister. And this is important for you to know this, just like it's important for me as a minister to know this, because you are sitting under the teaching and teachings of ministers. You have to be very careful, Christian, what you're exposing your mind to and to whom you're exposing your mind. Again, not here to take pot shots on any ministers, but I care about you, the listening audience, you taking the time to listen to the teachings that come from me here in Croatia. And I feel a sense of responsibility, just like I do for our people here and other people I minister to. I want you to know what God has to say. All right. Now, it's here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, that Paul gives to Timothy, a young pastor, 11 qualities of an excellent minister. Okay? And again, just to understand the background, Timothy, who had served along the Apostle Paul in many, many instances, we believe that Timothy had come to faith in Christ through the ministry of Paul on his first missionary journey in the southern province of Galatia. Timothy was from a place called Lystra. Paul had preached the gospel there. In fact, he actually was stoned by the opposition there in Lystra and thrown out of the city onto a garbage dump and was left for dead. But Paul was rescued by the Lord. In fact, we're told he went right back into the city and kept preaching. Obviously, this must have had a huge impact on Timothy. He was also raised by a godly mother and a godly grandmother. So when Paul and Silas went on the second missionary journey, they stopped in Lystra, picked up Timothy, and Timothy accompanied them. Timothy was also there in Rome when Paul had his first Roman imprisonment. Timothy also accompanied Paul when he went down to Jerusalem. Timothy was a young man, probably in his 30s at this point. I mean, Paul loved him. He called him his genuine son in the faith. Really, Timothy was a wonderful young man. Well, Paul had ministered in the church in Ephesus. That's in Asia Minor. He had ministered there for 3 years. That was the longest stint Paul stayed in one place and really ministered in during his missionary journeys. As you can imagine, Paul, the great apostle Paul, was used mightily by the Lord. A wonderful church was developed there. Elders were developed there. It was a glorious place. Well, you can read all about that in Acts 19 and 20, but in Acts 20, we're told that Paul, as he was leaving, said goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And he had warned them. He said, guys, you better stay strong and stay strong in sound biblical doctrine. You need to be excellent ministers because savage wolves, meaning false teachers, are going to try to come in from the outside to devour God's flock, the Christians. He even warned them and said, hey, even amongst yourselves, talking to the elders, there are going to be some savage wolves that rise up within you guys to try to devour the flock. He said, be on guard. Well, Paul ended up leaving. 8 years later, Paul and Timothy show up to this once glorious church in Ephesus. Paul, I'm certain, was expecting to find what he had left behind 8 years earlier. Well, no. In fact, what Paul found was that which he had warned the elders about. He found false teaching elders, wolves, throughout the church, and they were poisoning the church and corrupting the church. Well, Paul had to blow up the elder board. He excommunicated two of the elders. He started cleaning house there in the church. He then ended up leaving and went and visited other churches he had earlier planted, but he left Timothy behind there in that church in Ephesus to pastor it and to continue to clean up the corruption there. Now, Timothy by nature was rather timid. By age, he was rather young to be a pastor back then. He was in his mid-30s. He was prone to stomach ailments. And of course, because he had a brutal, brutal experience there. There were still false teaching elders that he had to get rid of. How do you think they treated Timothy? They looked down on him. He was young, inexperienced. He was outnumbered there. Well, Paul, that's why he wrote this first letter to Timothy, to encourage him, to give him instructions on what he had to do, getting rid of the false teachers, cleaning up the corrupt worship services, and so forth. Telling Timothy he had to raise up godly elders, godly deacons. And then here in chapter 4, he says to Timothy, let me give you the qualifications, God's qualifications or qualities of an excellent minister. And it's here in chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, that he gives these qualities. The key to this verse is in this passage is verse 6, part B, where he says to Timothy, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Good, in the Greek, the word is kalos. It means excellent, praiseworthy. Minister is the Greek word diakonos. It's where we get our English word for deacon. He's not talking about being a good deacon or the office of deacon. The word diakonos generally just means servant. So what he's saying here, he's talking in the initial context here, he's talking to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's saying, okay, let me show you how you'll be a good minister, an excellent servant of Christ. He was expecting Timothy to teach other men there in the church on what it meant to be excellent ministers, and to also teach the church as a whole what it meant to be excellent ministers, i.e. general servants. So whether, again, you're going to be an ordained minister like me or not, Christian, you are still a servant of Christ. So even though in the initial context here, he's talking about excellent ministers, pastors, elders, I think it's fair to say that we can extend that context and talk about excellent servants, Christians as a whole. And the key again here is verse 6, part B, when he says, Timothy, you will be a good kalos, minister, diakonos, servant of Christ Jesus. How? After the break, we'll start going through the qualities.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today we're talking about this, I don't know if it's hot, semi-hot, but I know it's applicable. What are God's qualities for an excellent minister? Again, as a Christian, you are being influenced by a minister, a pastor, an elder. Whether it's if you just go on a Sunday to listen to sermons or you are deeply involved in the life of the church on a weekly basis, a daily basis, you are being influenced by ministers. I'm an ordained minister. Right now, as you're listening to this show, you are being influenced by me. So as a Christian, you are under the influence of a minister or ministers. The question is, what is an excellent minister? And again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we took a look at some of the qualities that people, Christians today, would say an excellent minister is. Well, he's a good teacher, funny, he's intriguing, he's witty, he keeps my attention, he plants a lot of churches, he's able to draw a large crowd, he can manage a big budget, he can build all kinds of buildings. You know, you hear all these qualities that Christians say an excellent minister is. But are those God's qualities? Well, here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a young minister by the name of Timothy. Timothy had a tough ministry there in the church in Ephesus, and Paul was encouraging him and basically saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. He was in his mid-30s. But instead, Timothy, stick to God's qualities of an excellent minister. And again, initial context, it's Paul talking to a young pastor, Timothy, of what an excellent minister is. But as we learn in the first part of the show, the Greek word for minister that Paul uses here is diakonos. It literally means servant. So he's not simply just talking about, again, in the initial context, he's talking about a pastor, an elder. But I think you can extend that context. I think you could say he's talking to all Christians as a whole, because we are all servants of Christ Jesus, right? Diakonos. What exactly, according to God, is an excellent minister? Pastor, elder, and then, for you as a Christian, what does God say an excellent servant of Christ Jesus is? Well, let's do this. Let's look at just three qualities today. Again, there are 11 in this section, and we'll do a few shows on this. And I'm hoping you can take note on this. And really, as you're sitting there thinking about the minister or ministers that who are influencing you, you might want to say, okay, let me look at these qualities that God gives in his word, not that Andrew gives you, but qualities that God gives. And let's see how the minister and ministers stack up to this. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. This was a section that really, truly impacted me as a pastor when I moved here to Croatia, because I really didn't know. And as I studied this, I went, wow. God's qualities, God's standards are a lot different than what Andrew thought a good minister was. So let's see what God has to say. Number one, a good minister, an excellent kalos minister, is a protecting shepherd. Chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, he says, you will be an excellent minister. Point, the Greek word is hupo tithamenos, which literally means to constantly remind, to lay before, and to warn. Paul says to Timothy, you want to know a quality that God says is a quality of an excellent minister? You have to be a protecting shepherd. You need to constantly and consistently point these things out, warn the people. Point out what things? Well, right in that context, right above verses 1 through 5. You have to continually warn people what the Holy Spirit says, that in later times, people will commit apostasy. They'll abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared with a hard iron. They forbid people to marry. They order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it has been consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out, Timothy, you will be an excellent minister of Christ Jesus. An excellent minister of Christ Jesus, point number one, is a protecting shepherd. As a minister, I am not supposed to pet the sheep. I am called to protect the flock of God. And that means that I have to be constantly reminding the people who God has entrusted to me to serve. I have to constantly be laying before them and pointing out warnings. You have to be careful that you're not exposing yourself to doctrine of demons, that you are not allowing yourself to start following deceiving spirits. Because again, the Holy Spirit clearly says, Christian, that in later times, which by the way we're in, people will follow deceiving spirits. They will cling to devote themselves to deceiving spirits, and they will learn doctrine of demons. And how are these demons going to teach these doctrines? Well, first is, where are they going to do it? They're going to do it in churches. And you know what? How they're going to do it? They're going to work through hypocritical liars, false teachers, people who get up on the pulpit, who look good, sound good, yet are actually being used as tools, evil tools, by which deceiving spirits are teaching doctrine of demons. And how is it these guys are these tools? Well, their consciences have been seared. They've ignored God's word so long, they've not obeyed God's word for so long, that their consciences have become seared like with a hot iron. Well, you know something? Let me ask you something. When was the last time you had your minister or ministers that you listen to stand on the pulpit and lay this before you and warn you? Or are you going to a church where the minister is not going to say anything against anybody else? He doesn't want to offend anybody else. He just wants to preach a positive, feel-good, ear-tickling message. Well, let me tell you, that may make people feel good and even make them want to come back. But that is not a quality that God says is a quality of an excellent minister. An excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. It's like Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 33. You've got to be faithful as a watchman. You have to sound the alarm. As a pastor, I don't want to build a negative ministry. I don't want to just constantly be negative and negative and negative. But at the same time, I've got to warn the flock that God has entrusted to me. I've got to protect them. I've got to allow them to know the different heresies that are out there. I've got to allow them to know about the deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons that are going on throughout, because that's what the Holy Spirit clearly says. An excellent minister is a protecting shepherd. So again, think about the minister or ministers that you're influenced by. How much are they protecting you, laying before you, warning you about the potential dangers, certain dangers that are out there in the world? And let me ask you, even though you're not an ordained minister, you're a servant of Christ, how are you doing when it comes to protecting the flock that God's entrusted to you? Maybe you lead a small group. Maybe you're ministering to one or two people. How about people in your family? How protecting are you? Look, we could talk about Jesus's love all day, and that's great. But we also have to talk about the reality of Satan. We have to talk about the reality of evil that's in this world. And we've got to protect the flock of God. And again, the size of the flock varies. That's dependent on God. But the command is still the same. An excellent minister, whether ordained like me or general as servant like you, can protect the flock. And again, that's why you want to teach the whole counsel of God's word. Because God's word has the perfect balance, obviously, because God inspired it. And so as you teach God's word, you're going to have the perfect balance of encouragement. You're also going to have the perfect balance of warning. Do not be afraid to warn people, because we all, like sheep, love to wander and go astray because we have a sin nature. And you have to understand the power of this world, Christian. You have to understand the power of people's sin nature, and you have to understand the power of Satan. And that's why you've got to continually drive home God's word to people, continually lay forth warnings. Again, don't build a negative ministry. It's just based on that. But you've got to be a protecting shepherd. That's point number one. Point number two, God says an excellent minister is not only a protecting shepherd, verse 6, part A, but is also a humble servant, verse 6, part B. You will be a good minister, here are the three words, of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, you've got to remember who you're serving. The pastor is not the star. The pastor is not Mr. Popular. He's not the mega guy leading a mega church. No, the star, the only star, is Jesus Christ, because it's his church. He shed his blood for his church. He laid down his life for his church. And as a pastor, I, Timothy, Paul, any pastor, we are servants. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and verse 1, Paul uses another Greek word for servant. It's called hupareitēs. It literally is a picture of a third-level galley slave. Back in ancient days, you've probably seen it on movies. You've seen these three-tiered ships. They were called triremes, three-tiered ships. Well, remember at the bottom, the third level was the galley slave. You know, the slaves that were chained to the seat there, to the oars. And what do? They just kept rowing. They didn't stand up and hold up their oar and say, look at me, I'm the superstar. Well, an excellent minister should never draw attention to himself. An excellent servant should never draw their attention to themselves. They are servants of Christ Jesus. They are humble servants. They're protecting shepherds. Point number one, they're humble servants Point number two, as a Christian, you row for Christ. He's the captain. You should view yourself and others should view you as a third level huperetes galley slave. That, according to God's word, is an excellent minister. And then finally, point number three, same verse, verse six, but part C. An excellent minister is a serious student who nourishes himself on the truths of the faith and of the sound doctrine. Christian, according to God, an excellent minister is a serious student who constantly nourishes himself. Greek word, entrephomenos, constantly feeding and being nourished on the sound doctrine of Scripture. If you don't constantly nourish yourself with sound doctrine, healthy doctrine from God's word, you have nothing to give to the people you minister to. If you're just taking in spiritual junk food all the time, garbage in, garbage out, you're going to give out spiritual junk food. And you're not going to be able to be a protecting shepherd, and you're not going to be a humble servant because you're not a serious student. The great reformers, they were Bible scholars. They continually nourished themselves on the truths of the faith. Guys waking up 3-4 o'clock in the morning and just studying and studying. You may say, well, I'm not going to be an ordained pastor. No. As a Christian, you still are an excellent servant, right? You want to be an excellent servant. It means you got to protect the people that you've been entrusted with. Also, be a humble servant. Just keep rowing. And you've got to be a serious student. You can't be lazy on this. You've got to study the Scriptures. Because what comes into you, it's going to come out of you. And so think about yourself, Christian, when it comes to these three qualities that God gives. Are you a protecting shepherd? Are you a humble servant? Are you a serious student? And then think about the minister or ministers whom influence you. Are they protecting shepherds? Do they warn? Are they humble servants? Constantly pointing to Christ, just rowing for him. Are they serious students? Can you tell that they're studying and nourishing themselves on the truths of the faith and then preaching them to you? By the way, notice these first three qualities, we don't see anywhere that God says an excellent minister can draw a large crowd, manage a big budget, plant a lot of churches. These three qualities, very different than what we see a lot of people measured by. We'll take a look at a few more on our next show. God bless you.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.